Our learning tonight is sponsored by Joseph Greenbaum in memory of his father, Baruch Ben Moshe Zichrono Lebracha, by Esther Pearl in memory of Esther's mother, Gittel Yochid Bas Ben Yamin Zichrono Lebracha, and by Yossi Siv in memory of his mother, Hessel Bas Ben Asha Zichrono Lebracha, the Neshama Sheben Aliyah. Tonight, we finally arrive at the much-hyped and much-anticipated Shitas HaRambam Be'inyan Mitzvahs Asay Shel Shavias. This will be our final shiur. Hakdama, if you will. This will be our final shiur of introduction on the Mitzvah Sase of Shemitah. Next time, we will, Be'ez Hashem, start the first Mishnah, and then we're actually going to do a slight off-topic from that Mishnah, but we will get back to the Mishnah at some point. This is, again, going to be our final shiur on the Mitzvah Sase of Shemitah. It's going to be an assessment of the Rambam Shita. Next week, we'll, Be'ez Hashem, begin the sugya of Tosefes Shvias. We're really going to start with the discussion of Tosefes Shabbos, and we'll use that as our kind of entry point to the mitzvah of Tosefes Shvias, but we will get to all of that. In the meantime, we have Shitas HaRambam to deal with. Now, some brief introduction to the Rambam. Of course, Be'ez Hashem, we're going to spend lots of time analyzing Shitas HaRambam, and I'm not going to give a lengthy introduction each time, but insofar as this is our first shiur that is devoted really almost exclusively to exploring the Rambam Shita, it's worth offering some words of introduction. The Rambam was obviously one of the greatest and most important of our Rishonim. The Rishonim, of course, is a reference to our Chachmei HaMesorah that lived in the Middle Ages, roughly from 1000 to 1500. And the Rambam is unquestionably one of our greatest Chachmei HaMesorah in general. So much so that some are comfortable labeling the Rambam as the greatest of the Rishonim. Certainly within the Brisker Mesorah, students of the Soloveitchik dynasty and the like, that is certainly the Mesores. I've heard Rav Meir Twersky Shlita, who is of course a great Rosh Hashiva in his own right and also a grandson of Soloveitchik, refer to the Rambam as the greatest of our Rishonim. And I've also heard that b'shem Rav Volchantzin as well. Rav Volchantzin was a son-in-law of Rav Soloveitchik, again, a figure of great stature in his own right, who also said the same thing. Interestingly, both Rav Volchantzin and Rav Twersky were saying it in the context of speaking about the greatness of the Ramban. As much as the Ramban was the greatest of our Rishonim, the Ramban was X, Y, and Z, and then they went on about how amazing the Ramban was. But some are again, we'll label the Ramban the greatest of the Rishonim. Again, Anochi Akatan, I was never comfortable with that. How do you assess the Ramban versus Rashi? I don't know. But the Rambam is unquestionably among the greatest of our Rishonim and among the greatest of our Chachmei HaMesorah. He lives from 1138 to 1204, we won't get into the whole story of his life, which is, again, a remarkable story unto itself. But let's just talk about some of his halachic works for a moment, okay? The Rambam's halachic work that he wrote first was his Pirush HaMishnah. He wrote a commentary on the Mishnayos. So we're actually not going to be looking at the Pirush HaMishnah tonight, but hopefully in the future we certainly will. It was something that he wrote when he was relatively young. He wrote it in Arabic, and it was a running commentary on the Mishnah. That was the Rambam's Pirush HaMishnah, as the name implies. It was a commentary on the Mishnah. His magnum opus and his major halachic work is what we call the Mishnah Torah. The Mishnah Torah is a breathtaking and mesmerizing work. We could give a whole shiur just talking about how great the Mishnah Torah is. But in short, it is, it's again, the Rambam's magnum opus. It's the work that he wrote in Hebrew, as opposed to most of his works which he wrote in Arabic. I think that in and of itself says something about how the Rambam himself perceived the stature of the Mishnah Torah within his own corpus of work. And it's where the Rambam effectively takes all of Torah Sheba'al Peh, and seeks to organize it systematically. The Gemara, of course, is not organized systematically. The Gemara is organized as a dialogue, as a running conversation. It talks about one topic, and then you get into a tangent, then you talk about something else, and then you work your way back to the original topic. And I think that's by design. I think that's deliberate. It's not that Ravina and Ravashi had poor editorial skills. I think it maintains the character of Torah Sheba'al Peh. After all, this wasn't supposed to be written down in the first place. And even in its recorded state, it's the raw dialogue of Torah Sheba'al Peh. It almost invites us to take part in those conversations of the Tana'im and Amoraim. So that's the way the Gemara was deliberately written and organized. But, of course, if you want to look up a topic, the Gemara can be very difficult. You look up a Masechta and it talks about all sorts of different topics and not just one exclusively. So the Rambam really takes everything and puts it into its proper place. I think it's sometimes mischaracterized as a halacha lemaisa work. I don't think that's what the Mishnah Torah is. I don't think that's how the Rambam intended it. And I think if you just read the Mishnah Torah, that's quite evident. The Rambam pays just as much meticulous detail to halachos that don't apply nowadays as he does to halachos that do apply nowadays. It's not organized the way the Shulchan Aruch is organized. When the Rambam talks about the Seder that he describes is the Seder of the Karban Pesach. Then afterwards he says, oh, nowadays, by the way, you know, as a parenthetical note, things are a little bit different than the way they used to be. But what it really is a systematization of the entirety of Torah Sheba'al Peh. It's a work that the Rambam edited throughout his life. We know that the Rambam constantly worked on Mishneh Torah and worked it through and worked it through again. They actually have Kisvei Yad of the Rambam himself in some of the Oxford libraries, which to me is just an astonishing thought. I mean, I just saying those words is kind of put chills down my spine. But one of my Rebbeim in Yeshiva had seen the manuscript, and he said on the manuscript it said Hilchos Nezikin, and the word Nezikin was crossed out, and Nizkei Mammon was written on top of it. And now we know it as Hilchos Nizkei Mammon. But what you see that is that the Rambam himself was going through the work with an editorial pen and really just working through it. And that's why, again, whenever we read the Mishneh Torah, we read it with the utmost care, because it was written with the utmost care. As an introduction to the Mishneh Torah, the Rambam wrote something that we call the Sefer HaMitzvos. The Sefer HaMitzvos was a count of the 613 mitzvos. It's a whole body of literature called Sifrei Mitzvos. We know that there are 613 mitzvos. There are many Gemaras that tell us that. The Gemara never spells out what the 613 mitzvos are. It leaves us to kind of identify the 613 mitzvos. And of course, if you counted all the halachos in the beginning of Maseches Brachos, or the end of Maseches Nida, you'd end up with thousands, not just 613. So it becomes a question of how to characterize and categorize them. You have 39 Malachos of Shabbos, but presumably that's one mitzvah of Lo Sa'aseh Kol Malacha. So how do you characterize all of them? And there's a whole body of literature in the Rishonim called Sifrei Mitzvos, but perhaps the most influential of all of them is that of the Rambam, and we're certainly going to be looking at the Sefer HaMitzvos today. Okay. Now again, there's so much more to be said, but that I guess offers a brief introduction to some of the stuff that we're going to be looking at tonight. Now, one final piece of introduction that's important, and that is what's called a koteret. If you look in source number 4, you'll see the Rambam koteret lehilchos shmita v'yovel. That's the introduction to the halachos of shmita v'yovel. Now, what the Rambam does is at the beginning of every set of halachos in the Mishneh Torah, he lists all of the mitzvos that are going to appear in that section of halacha. So in Hilchos Shmita V'Yovel, the Rambam is going to talk about lots of different halachos, but at the very beginning, he's like, you know what, here's just a summary, just be prepared, here are the mitzvos that are going to appear in this section. We actually took a look at the Koteret, the Shmita V'Yovel, before, when we were talking about the various mitzvos of Shmita, the Aseh, the Losa Aseh, the mitzvos pertaining to the land, the mitzvos pertaining to the fruits and the produce, the mitzvos pertaining to loans. There were different mitzvos pertaining to Shmita, and we looked at that very quickly, but we're going to take a closer look at that tonight, Be'ez Hashem. Okay?
Definition of that word,
Koteret. Is it like Keter?
Heading?
Koteret. Heading, yeah, I guess a heading. Yeah. Good. Now, what I want to do right now is we're going to skip the first two. We're going to skip the first two sources for a moment. We will work our way back to them because they're going to be referenced by the Rambam. What I want to do is contrast the Rambam's presentation of the mitzvahs asay of Shmita in the Sefer HaMitzvos with the presentation in Mishneh Torah. We're going to read both carefully. I am just going to read and translate. I open up to all of you what discrepancies may or may not exist between the presentation in Sefer HaMitzvos and in Mishneh Torah, and then we will, Be'ez Hashem, try to resolve those tensions and discrepancies. We're going to invoke examples or analysis of the Rambam's presentation of other mitzvos, two of which come from Soloveitchik, one which comes from Mori V'Rabbi Rav Rosenzweig. The application to Shemitah is my own, so that I take responsibility for. If you think it makes no sense whatsoever, that's on me. But the other mitzvos that we analyze are from, you know, Gedolei Chachameinu Shemipiyam Anu Chayim. So let's take a look at sources 3, 4, and 5. Again, we'll just read and translate, and we will take it from there. Source number 3. Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos Asei Kuf Lamed Hei. Again, I'm just going to read and translate. The HaMitzvah HaKuf Lamed Hei, the 135th mitzvah, He Shetzivanu Lishbos Me'avodas Ha'aretz Bashana Shavias. Is that Hashem commanded us to rest from working the land during the seventh year. Again, this is a mitzvah asay. That's what we've been highlighting throughout. It's not a mitzvah lo sa'aseh, do not engage in agricultural labor. It is a mitzvah asay, rest from working the land. And that is what the Torah tells us. Rest from plowing and reaping. That is the pasuk that appears in source number 1. Source number 1 for a moment. Sheshes yamim ta'avod v'yom ha'shvi tishbos becharish v'akatzir tishbos. You shall work for 6 days, and on the seventh day, rest. rest from plowing and reaping. Now again, if you just read it, you'd think that is perhaps referring to Shabbos, but the Gemara Moed Katan Daf Gimel, which we haven't looked at so extensively yet, but we absolutely will, says that it is a reference to Shemitah, at least according to one opinion in the Gemara, and that is the opinion that is being adopted by the Rambam. That is the Mitzvah's Asay to rest during Shemitah. So now back to source number 3. We're at the end of the first line after the period. Ukvar nichbal hatzivoy hazeh pa'amayim. We'll read a pa'amayim or pa'amim, but this tzivoy was twice repeated. The Amar Shabbat Shabbason Yeh La'aretz. The Torah says Shabbat Shabbason Yehyeh La'aretz. Now that appears again, that just parenthetically in source number 2. If you look at Pasuk Dalet, Uvashana Shaviyah Shabbat Shabbason Yeh La'aretz Shabbat La'Hashem Sadechalos Zov Chamer Chalos is more. During the seventh year, there shall be a year of Shabbat Shabbason, this total and complete rest for the land. You shall not seed your field, and you shall not do the same for your vineyard. Good. So that's a language that we focused on extensively as well. Shabbat Shabbason. So the Rambam says there's Becharish Bakatsir Tishbos, there's Shabbat Shabbason. Ukvar kidem lanu omram hai Shabbason asehu. And Chazal told us that this Shabbason is an asei. The Omar Yisala gam kein b'shabbosah ha'aret Shabbos la'Hashem. And we also have another pasuk, right? The Rambam said it's repeated twice. We have another pasuk that says b'shabbosah ha'aret Shabbos la'Hashem. That is, again, source number 2, pasuk Beis. Speak to the Bnei Yisrael. When you arrive in the land shall rest as a Shabbos to Hashem. And then the Rambam concludes in source number 3. This is the final line, again, after the period. Fourth word. The laws of this halacha are explained in Masechah Shviyas. That might be surprising to the people in this year because we haven't opened Masechah Shviyas yet. But Be'ez Hashem, we will. Okay? It is in Masechah Shviyas. Vein chovasa min haTorah ela be'Eretz Yisrael. Amida Oraisa, it only applies in Eretz Yisrael. It's a mitzvah tliya ba'aretz. Okay? That is the Rambam's presentation of the mitzvah Saseh in Essay Kuf Lamed Hei. So far, so good? Tov. We turn to sources 4 and 5. Now, bear in mind, I presented these as separate sources simply because I didn't quote the entirety of the Koteret. If we were looking at a page of the Rambam, source number 4 appears immediately before source number 5, right? The Koteret is the heading, and then it goes right into the halachos. So even though they're kind of, it's a little misleading. I presented them as two sources here. It's really kind of, in a sense, one continuous source, and we will treat it as such, okay? So the Rambam says in source number 4, Hilchos Shemitah v'Yovel, the laws of Shemitah and Yovel, Yesh bechlolon shtayim be'eser mitzvos, 22 mitzvos, teisha mitzvos asay, shlosha eser mitzvos lo sa'asay, 9 mitzvos asay, 13 mitzvos lo sa'asay, v'zehu pirtan. And these are the details of the mitzvos, and we're not going to read all of them, because I didn't provide all of them here. But number 1, shetishbos ha'aretz b'shvias b'malachta, that's the one that we are focusing on, and it is appropriately in bold, that the earth should rest during the seventh year from its malacha, from its labor. Number 2, shlo ya'avod avodas ha'aretz b'shanazu, that you should not work the land during this year. That is, of course, a mitzvah lo sa'aseh. Fine. So again, we're not going to read the remainder of the 22 mitzvos, but we'll go straight into Shemitah v'Yovel Aleph Aleph. Again, I'm just reading and translating. Mitzvahs aseh lishbos me'avodas ha'aretz v'avodas ha'ilon b'shana shviyas. There is a mitzvah aseh to rest from working the land and working the orchards, the trees, during the seventh year. Sheneemar v'shavisah ha'aretz shabbos la'Hashem. As the pasuk says, v'shavisah ha'aretz shabbos la'Hashem. Once again, that's source number 2, pasuk Beis, that the land should rest as a Shabbos, as a year of rest to Hashem. V'neemar becharish uvakatzir tishbos. The Torah also tells us, you shall rest from plowing and reaping. V'chola osa melacha me'avodas ha'aretz o ha'ilonos b'shana zu. Bitel mitzvah ha'aseh v'avar alosa ha'aseh. Whoever does melacha, working the land, or the orchards, or the trees during this year, has failed to perform this mitzvah saseh, has failed to properly execute this command. And he says, "V'avar alosa saseh," and you also violated a prohibition. Shenemar sadecholos is avachamer cholos is more. There we have the formulation that the Torah gives us in the negative: do not work the land in these various ways. So you violated a mitzvah lo saseh as well. There's the Rambam, Sefer HaMitzvos, Mishnah Torah. Definitely heavy overlap. I wouldn't say that there's a contradiction in the Rambam here. There is no contradiction in the Rambam here. The Rambam's message is the same. But I do think there are some subtle differences that are worthy of noting. And I ask if you have felt the same way. Yes, the order of the psukim. Okay?
the Mishnah Torah, it seems like Veshavtar is the primary pasuk.
Good.
And it's like almost a throwaway.
Excellent. Okay. So the first thing that stands out, or I don't know if it's the first thing or the second thing, but it's one thing that stands out. To me, there are two significant differences to me. And one of them is the sequence of the psukim that the Rambam quotes. If you look in the Sefer HaMitzvos, the Rambam's source text is Becharishu Vakatzir Tishbos, right? That's what he says is the source for this. And then he adds, by the way, this mitzvah has been repeated other times. There are other psukim that highlight the same thing. And there are other psukim that highlight this as well. And then he quotes the remaining two psukim, okay? That's the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos. The Rambam in Mishneh Torah, by contrast, starts with the pasuk of V'shavisoha Aretz Shabbos LaHashem. Really, the third pasuk that he quotes in the Sefer HaMitzvos becomes the first pasuk, or primary proof text, source text, in Mishneh Torah. And then he tacks on afterwards, Becharish Uvakatzir Tishbos. Okay? So the sequence of the psukim is different. Any other differences between the two?
How about the fact that in the first source, it looks like there's only two mitzvahs, and then it comes to 22.
Oh, that's only because I only quoted you one mitzvah. In other words, in the Sefer HaMitzvos, all 22 are accounted for. But I didn't quote all 22 on the source sheet, okay? But again, if you were just looking at the source sheet, that would obviously be a fair point to pick up on. Yes?
It seems like the Sefer HaMitzvos, he's giving all the psukim and saying, this is an assay, and then he's saying in source number 5 you violate an assay and a los assay from the same psukim.
Okay, so this... No. The los assay is not from the same psukim, right? He says, v'avar a los assay sh'ne'emar sa'decholos is v'avachar mecholos is more. He's bringing a separate pasuk for the los assay at the very end of source number 5.
So the same action.
Right.
Okay, now again, in terms of the fact that he doesn't quote the los assay here, Ari, that, again, that's a fair point, but it's also a function of the fact that I only printed for you. In the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos, he counts all the mitzvos assay to up to 248, and then he counts all the mitzvos los assay. In contrast to, let's say, the Sefer HaChinuch, which just organizes them according to the sequence of the psukim, ala Torah, the Rambam created his own sequence, which in my mind is significant in its own right. Like, sometimes you have to see why the Rambam places certain mitzvos in certain places. And that could be quite significant. But the Rambam had his own sequence, and the way he organized the sequence was mitzvos haaseh first, and then mitzvos lo haaseh. Yeah.
That it switches the subject, it's shetishbos haaretz, the land should rest, versus...
Good, excellent, yeah. Before we get to that, Rami, you had something too?
Yeah, that was the active versus passive in the Rambam itself, in the... not the Sefer HaMitzvos. The Sefer HaMitzvos talks about it more of a passive in the land being done, work to it.
As good.
A kol ha'osa melacha, like a person who's actively working.
Right, okay, good, good. Yeah, Danny. That's very interesting, and it's something that I did not pick up on. It's a good point, and it requires thought. I'm not sure. Danny, it's a good point. And it was not one of the points that I was going to focus on nowadays, and I don't know if I have a hasbro for that, but it's something that's definitely worth thinking about further. Why does he include it specifically in Mishneh Torah and not in Sefer Mitzvos? We'll see if we can arrive at any kind of semi-conclusion there. Maybe. We'll see. We'll see if we can arrive at some conclusion. We'll see if it fits into the broader analysis here. I'm not sure. Yeah.
He doesn't make reference to it being a mitzvah to leave aretz in the second source.
In the Mishneh Torah.
Yeah.
Right, but again, he will. In other words, like that. Right. That's again, we have to distinguish between like discrepancies and things that are just a function of what I printed and what's not printed.
If you look at source 5, it doesn't mention it either.
Right. Again, but this is only halacha aleph. In other words, right. Okay. So again, so that might be like a function of. Of the Makoros, again, it's a valid point, but if we had the entirety of Mishneh Torah, then we'd be looking at a different analysis. Just like before I was saying, if we had the whole Sefer HaMitzvos, we'd have more information there too. But I think the discrepancies that we noted are worthwhile, and to me, I think they speak to a certain common denominator. Let's just review them again. In source number 3, the Rambam starts with the pasuk that appears in source number 1. Becharishu vakatzir tishbos. The psukim in bold of source number 2, v'shavasaha aretz, shabash shabason yela aretz, those are afterthoughts. Those are nichbal tzivoy zeh. They're kind of additional proof texts, but it's not the source. Whereas in the Rambam and Mishnah Torah, the main source, it's reversed. The main source is source number two, Veshavasaha Aret Shabbos Lashem, and Becharish Vakatzir Tishbos is taken as an assisting or a secondary text. Additionally, when the Rambam is formulating the mitzvah itself, he formulates it in a subtly different, ever so slightly different, but in my mind, quite significant way. If you look at Sefer HaMitzvos, HaMitzvah HaKuf Lamed Hei, He Shetzivanu Lishbos Me'avodas HaAretz Bashana HaShviyas. We are commanded to rest from working the field during the seventh year. Whereas in the Koteret, source number four, the bold, Shetishbos HaAretz B'Shviyas Mimalachta. The subject changes. It's not us resting from working on the seventh year. The land should rest. So Danny correctly points out, and that's what we're going to spend the second half of this year discussing, the Mishnah Torah itself, in source number 5, goes back to the language of the Sefer HaMitzvos. We're going to get back to that, okay? So just hold off on that for a moment. But let's just for simplicity's sake, look at the Koteret versus the Sefer HaMitzvos. You have that discrepancy in formulation.
You could say it's a discrepancy within the Sefer HaMitzvos because of the last line is the chiyuv only in Eretz Yisrael, but it's on the person. So what would it make a difference? We could be yotze the mitzvah of Shvius here in America by not working the land of Eretz Yisrael.
No, the mitzvah is for you not to work the land of Eretz Yisrael.
Right,
it's a mitzvah to Liyabar. It's just like Truma Maser and everything else.
Right, but so can one be yotze the mitzvah of resting the land in America? Yeah. Why not? Because I'm not working the land of Eretz Yisrael.
You're right.
I can't do that with Truma Maser here because it only can be done with fruits or things that grow in Eretz Yisrael.
Right, no, again, nobody would argue with the point that Shemitah is a mitzvah to leave your baretz. There's no mitzvah to leave your land fallow in Pennsylvania during the seventh year.
For the person, in other words, do I have to own the land, or I'm not working the land in Eretz Yisrael this year?
Okay, so
why would I not get that mitzvah?
I think that could also be for either of these. Like, yeah, it's a fair question.
It can't be based on the ending, because it's only in Eretz Yisrael, so
yeah, again, I don't think the Rambam there means the chova only applies if you are in Eretz Yisrael. Again, it may not, but right, yeah, again, I think what the Rambam is saying there is that the mitzvah is to let the land of Eretz Yisrael rest. I think that's what the Rambam means in that line.
About the chafetz of God.
Right.
So good. So that's I think what to me this discrepancy drives at. Let's start with the difference of formulation. Point number two. Now, if you were just reading this quickly, because you just have a Seder and Rambam Yomi, and you're reading it quickly, you'd say, okay, you're resting from the land resting, what are you splitting hairs for? What's the difference? But we know, based on all the analysis that we've been doing so far, that there's quite a profound difference between what we called the mitzvah of Shvisas HaAdam versus Shvisas HaAretz. How exactly do we perceive this mitzvah? Is it a mitzvah asay for you to rest, which, as we said, is kind of, in certain ways, just a reformulation of the mitzvah losa asay? Don't work, and also, you rest. Or is there a mitzvah of Shvisas HaAretz, a mitzvah to ensure that the land itself rests. With all the nafkaminas that we discussed until now, the most obvious being that we discussed extensively, the machlokas among the Rishonim, between the Menachas Chinuch and the Chazon Ish, about, let's say, doing it al yedei acherim, facilitating somebody else to work the land. If it's a mitzvah of Shvisas HaAretz, then you would say that no, the land itself needs to rest, right? It's a different category of mitzvah. It's a conceptually distinct mitzvah, as opposed to just saying you need to rest. Now, does that fit the psukim that the Rambam quotes? Let's take a look back at the psukim. You look at source number one, right? We'll just focus on the bold in order to save time. It says, Becharishu v'katzir tishbos. What does that mean? That means you should rest from the land. That's referring to you. Clearly the subject is Klal Yisrael. You should rest from working the land. Let's look at the sources in number two for a moment. And you know what? Just humor me, we'll go out of order, okay? We'll first look at Pasuk Dalet. Shabbat Shabbason Yehyeh La'aretz. There should be a year of full rest for the land. What's the formulation there? I'd say it's a little bit more on the land. It should be for the land. There's really no subject there. The year is the subject. The year should be a year of rest for the land. Now circle back to Pasuk Beis. What about that formulation? Vishavisaha aret Shabbos LaHashem. That one could not be more direct, right? There it's clearly saying the land should rest. You'd think from that formulation that the land is this animate being that's going around, and Hashem is telling land, rest during the seventh year. If you look at the Rambam's formulations in Sefer HaMitzvos, he goes progressively from the one that refers most directly to people to the one that refers to the land. First, he says Becharish Bakatsir Tishbos. That's one that's directly about people. Then he says Shabbat Shabbason Yela Aretz, that middle pasuk that's a little more ambiguous. And then finally, he concludes with, by the way, it also says V'shavasah Aretz Shabbos LaHashem. The one that refers to the land most directly is the one that's most an afterthought in the Sefer HaMitzvos. Whereas in Mishneh Torah, the Rambam starts right off the bat with the pasuk that he quoted third. The third string pasuk of Sefer HaMitzvos is what the Rambam quotes first in Mishneh Torah. V'shavasah Aretz, the land should rest. And that fits perfectly with the formulation in Kotera, Shetishbos Aretz B'shvias Mimalachta. So in my mind, the formulations of Sefer HaMitzvos and the Kotera to Hilchos Shemitah, and the beginning of Hilchos Shemitah, have precisely the Chakira that we've been discussing exists within these sources. If you just read the Rambam and Sefer HaMitzvos in isolation, you get the impression that this is a mitzvah of Shvisas HaAdam. It's telling you rest from agricultural labor. When you look at Mishneh Torah, the Rambam ever so subtly introduces this notion of Shvisas HaAretz as well. Ensure that the land rests, make sure that it maintains its restful character. Shetishbos HaAretz b'shvias b'malachta, v'shavisah HaAretz Shabbos LaHashem. Fine. That is stage number one. Now, ordinarily speaking, if we have a discrepancy between Mishneh Torah and Pirush HaMishnayos, that's not the biggest deal in the Rambam. Some there are stories that Rav Chaim Soloveitchik used to really invest a lot in discrepancies between Mishneh Torah and Pirush HaMishnayos, but many others are much more comfortable with it. The Rambam wrote the works at very different stages of his life, and he himself says there were times where he changed his mind between the composition of Pirush HaMishnah and Mishneh Torah. Now, a discrepancy between Sefer HaMitzvos and Mishneh Torah is a little more troubling. They were really written as companion works. And I guess what's a little more troubling is the point that Danny made a moment ago, which is that even within Mishneh Torah, we do have a little bit of tension within the formulation of the Rambam that we haven't looked at until now and that I really want to spend our remaining time taking a look at. Let's go back to sources number 4 and number 5. And let's focus on what I've been calling the subtle formulations pertaining to the subject of the mitzvah. In the Koteret, in source number 4, the Rambam writes, Shetishbos ha'aretz b'shvias b'malachta, and as I've been highlighting, the subject there is the earth should rest. But when you turn to source number 5, the Rambam says, Mitzvah essay, Lishbos me'avodas ha'aretz v'avodas ha'ilan. All of a sudden, the Rambam's formulation of Mitzvah essay returns to whom? Returns to the Gavra. Just for comparison, let's just do a line-by-line comparison of source number 3, the Sefer HaMitzvos, and source number 5. Source number 3, V'ha'mitzvah kuf lamed hei, Hishatzivanu lishbos me'avodas ha'aretz. Source number 5. Mitzvah sasei, lishbos me'avodas ha'aretz, right? The formulations there are directly parallel, with the point of avodas ha'ilan noted and filed. But there the formulations are parallel. So if my analysis is correct, and we're saying that in the Rambam and Mishneh Torah, he's really highlighting and focusing on the shvisa of the land, why all of a sudden at the beginning of the halacha does he revert to describing the gavra, your responsibility, your personal responsibility to rest? So in trying to resolve that and try to develop, I guess, a more holistic approach to all of these Rambams, as I said at the outset, I'd like to take a look at some other instances where we do have some tension, let's say, between the Rambam's description in Koteret and what he writes in Mishneh Torah. And the first one is one that is a celebrated analysis of Rav Soloveitchik on the mitzvah of Teshuvah. Look at what the Rambam writes. You know what? Before we even look at source number 6, let's skip down to source number 7. This is where the Rambam formulates the mitzvah of tshuva. It is, after all, Hilchos Tshuva Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph. But there is something quite evidently noteworthy in the way the Rambam describes the mitzvah. Once again, I'll just read and translate, but this one really jumps out. Kol mitzvah sheba Torah, the Rambam says, in any mitzvah of the Torah, bein esei bein lo sa'asei, if it's a mitzvah sa'asei that you neglected, a mitzvah lo sa'asei, a prohibition that you violated, im avar adam al achas mehen, you violated any one of them, bein bezadon bein bishkaga, whether you did it on purpose, with intent, whether you did it by mistake, kisha yase tshuva v'yashuv mecheto, when you do tshuva and you return from your sin, chayav lehesvados lefnei hakel baruchu, you are obligated to do vidui, to do confession, before the Ribono Shel Olam. Then he quotes Pasuk Shenemar Isha Isha. The Pasuk he quotes is important too, but that we'll leave aside for now. What is noteworthy about the Rambam's formulation about the Mitzvah Haseh of Teshuvah?
Teshuvah is not a mitzvah. Vidu is a mitzvah.
What does it sound like? The Rambam says, when you do Teshuvah, make sure you do Vidui. That doesn't sound like Teshuvah is a mitzvah. Mashal Amad Avadoman. The Rambam says, if you choose to eat meat, then you should shech the animal beforehand. That is a mitzvah, to shech the animal. Is there a mitzvah that you have to eat meat? Okay, maybe karbanos and Shabbos and Yom Tov. Okay, fine. But in theory, right, it sounds like tshuva is an option. If you choose to do tshuva, says the Rambam, this is the procedure that you must go through. There are indeed some mitzvos where it's fully an option, and if you choose to exercise that option, there are halachos that you need to follow. The Rambam counts a dinei avadim, referencing last week's parsha. The halachos of owning an eved is a mitzvah. Does that mean you have a mitzvah to go out and acquire for yourself an indentured servant? No, there's no halacha that dictates that. If you choose to exercise that option, the halachos, here are the halachos that you must follow. And that's what it sounds like in the Rambam as well. Ad kedei kach, that if you look at source number 8, the Minchas Chinuch, famously, in Mitzvah Shin Samech Daled, says that there is no mitzvahs aseh of tshuva. Mevor bedvarev de'ein ha-tshuva mitzvahs aseh. The Minchas Chinuch says it's clear from the Rambam that tshuva is not a mitzvahs aseh. The locus of mitzvahs aseh she'yaseh tshuva. He didn't write that, oh, there's a mitzvahs aseh, there's a command that you should do tshuva in the event that you sinned. Rak in ba lasos mitzvahs aseh she'yisvada bepib. But if you want to do it, sorry, in ba lasos, if you want to go do it, mitzvahs aseh she'yisvada bepib, then there's a mitzvah to do vidui. V'chach nere milashan ramach. Imkein lo asa tshuva in lo onesh klal. Imkein lo asa tshuva in lo onesh klal al mashal lo asa tshuva rak al aver she'avar. The Minchas Chinuch says, let's say you don't do tshuva. Are you punished for not doing teshuva? He says, no, you're punished for the Aveira that you did. You didn't do tshuva for the original Aveira. You ate a bacon sandwich, and you didn't do tshuva, so you're punished for eating the bacon sandwich. But you're not punished for not doing tshuva, says the Minchas Chinuch. According to the Minchas Chinuch's interpretation of the Rambam, there is no mitzvah to do tshuva. Soloveitchik was totally scandalized by this Minchas Chinuch. He thought, inconceivable. Now, on a theological level, you have an opportunity to return to the Ribbono Shel Olam to do tshuva, and that's not a mitzvah? Totally scandalized by it. We actually, I think I gave a shiur on this topic right before during the Aseret Yemei Teshuva or during Chodesh Elul, and why I think, perhaps, my conjecture as to why the Torah doesn't outright formulate it as a mitzvah saseh, but if salvation is inconceivable. How did you read the Rambam? So, one second. Henry, question before we talk about... Okay. How did Rav Soloveitchik read the Rambam? So, Rav Soloveitchik noted that if you look in the Koteret to Hilchos Teshuva, you get a very different impression. Hilchos Teshuva, source number 6. Mitzvah Zaseh Achas. There is one Mitzvah Zaseh in all of Hilchos Teshuva. And what is that Mitzvah Zaseh? Hu sheyoshuv hachote meichet olifnei Hashem v'yisvade. What's the implication in that formulation? Sheyoshuv hachote meichet olifnei Hashem v'yisvade. There, it seems quite clear that there is a mitzvah to do teshuva. V'yisvade. And he includes the process as part of that mitzvah as well. Sometimes, and again, we're not going to chronicle all of this right now, sometimes the process of how you do a mitzvah is an important part of the mitzvah itself. Shechita would be a good example of that. Ironically, Gerushin would be a good example of that. If we were learning Maseches Gittin, maybe at some point, Be'ez Hashem in the future. There are examples of that too, where the way you do a mitzvah is critical to the character and content of a mitzvah. That's what it sounds like in Hilchos Teshuva, but it doesn't sound like there is no mitzvah. She'yoshuv hachote meicheto v'yis lifnei Hashem. Said of Soloveitchik, there are times when the Koteret will capture the essence of a mitzvah. And in Mishneh Torah, the Rambam describes what we will call the Maisa HaMitzvah. This is, again, classic Brisker parlance that Soloveitchik was very fond of. There's a Kiyum HaMitzvah, and there is a Maisa HaMitzvah. There's a broader goal that you are trying to achieve through the performance of a mitzvah, and then there is the Maisa. There's the narrow activities that you must engage in order to have that mitzvah achieved. To quote another second example that Soloveitchik was also very fond of, look at the Rambam in source number 9, the Koteret to Hilchos Chagiga. Here in Hilchos Chagiga, the Rambam says there are sheish mitzvos, right? Arba mitzvos asei, v'shtayim mitzvos lo asei, v'zehu pirton. He starts with the three mitzvos that you have to do every regel, every chag, essentially, on Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. So number one, l'heiros p'nei Hashem. Number one is to show up in the Beis HaMikdash, what we call Aliyah L'Regel. Now, interesting, you'll note that the Rambam does not call it Aliyah L'Regel. He calls it Lehi Ra'os Pnei Hashem. And I think that's significant. The Rambam uses the Lashon of Aliyah another time. We'll talk about why the Rambam formulates it the way he does. But we call it Aliyah L'Regel. The Rambam calls it Lehi Ra'os Pnei Hashem. Mitzvah Beis, Lachug B'Shalosh Regalim, to bring the Karban Chagiga on the Shalosh Regalim. Parenthetically, nowadays in modern Hebrew, the word Chag Sameach just means happy holiday. You use Chag Sameach for any holiday that's around. Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, Rosh Hashanah, Tu B'Shvat, Tu B'Av, Yom HaAtzmaut, whatever it may be, you say Chag Sameach. Technically, in a halachic sense, Chag Sameach is really only an appropriate term three times a year. That's Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. Those are the three chagim, because, again, halachically speaking, the term chag refers to the Karban Chagiga, which was brought on those 3 days. At one point, I remember Rav Rosenzweig was having a Chanukah Mesiva. He has it every single year. And everybody goes and shares words of Torah. Some people, you know, may have been there on one occasion or another. And someone went to Rebbetzin Rosenzweig and said, Chag Sameach. And it was the biggest mistake he ever made. Rav Rosenzweig, like, took his head off. She's like, you're a Talmud of my husband and you're calling Chanukah a Chag? Like, well, you know, you're clearly missing something from Shir. Because Chanukah Sameach, or Chanukah Smecha, I guess, technically. Freilich and Chanukah is the safest. But it's not a Chag. It's not a Chag. Chag is reserved for those 3 days. So the Rambam says, Lachug is the second mitzvah. And what's the third? Lismoach Birigalim. The mitzvah of Simcha, to rejoice on the holiday. Now look at how the Rambam describes it in Mishnah Torah, source number 10. V'has simcha ha'amura b'regalim, husha yakriv shlomim yeser al shalmei chagiga. The mitzvah of simcha is to bring another karban in addition to the karban chagiga that you already brought. Again, here, I can't help but noting that the Rambam's formulations here are quite rich. And again, I hope that in the future we'll have opportunities to explore the Rambam at the beginning of Hilchos Chagiga. It's really loaded material. But for now, we'll just say the Rambam says the mitzvah is to bring another shlomim in addition to the Karban Chagiga. Ve'elu heim hanekraim shalmei simchas chagiga shenemar v'zavachta shlomim v'achalta sham samad v'neshem elokecha. And they are what are called shalmei simcha. Okay? Now, the Rambam describes the mitzvah as bringing a karban. Soloveitchik asks, is that, and this is part of a much broader analysis based on the Gemara and Moed Katan and Dafi. We're not going to get into the whole analysis right now. But Soloveitchik asks, is just bringing a karban a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Simcha Beregel? What's the real mitzvah? What's the kiyum ha-mitzvah? What is the mitzvah actually driving at? You're supposed to be in a festive mood. You're supposed to try to facilitate a festive state of mind over the course of the regel. What is the narrow way through which you do that? You bring a karban, you bring a shlomim, which is the type of karban that everybody's allowed to partake in, you eat from the karban, you engage in the festive atmosphere of the Beis HaMikdash, and that is how you seek to facilitate that broader mindset and emotional state of festivity and joy on the regel. But is, narrowly speaking, just bringing the karban, is that the mitzvah? No. Once again, the koteret captures the kiyum ha-mitzvah. L'smoach b'regalim. The Mishnah Torah captures the narrow performance of the mitzvah. We'll go through one more example just because it's apropos to what we were discussing and perhaps most directly related to what we're talking about in Hilchos Shviyos. This comes not from Soloveitchik, but from, again, from Mori V'Rabbi Rav Rosenzweig. What about the Rambam's approach to the mitzvah saseh of Shabbos? So if you remember, last time we saw a classic source in the Ramban on the mitzvah saseh of Shabbos, the Ramban's commentary in Vayikra Perachav Gimel, where he had that whole analysis of what the mitzvah saseh of Shabbos is, even if you manage to avoid, narrowly speaking, 39 melachos, you have a mitzvah aseh, you have this imperative to maintain the restful character of Shabbos, because otherwise you'd be able to work loopholes and you'd be able to have the shuk. Remember, he had that whole vivid description of the shuk being open on Shabbos. That's how the Ramban interprets the mitzvah aseh of Shabbos. How does the Rambam interpret the mitzvah aseh of Shabbos? It's much more ambiguous due to sources 11, 12, and 13. Source 11. In the Koteret Hilchos Shabbos, the first mitzvah that the Rambam quotes before anything about malacha is Lishbos Bashvi, to rest on the seventh day. Then in Mitzvah Beis, the Rambam says, Shalom Lasos Bo Malacha. Sometimes, unfortunately, in our experience of Shabbos, we think of Shabbos as a list of no, 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 don't. But really, the first mitzvah of Shabbos is to rest on Shabbos, to appreciate Shabbos. I would always tell my students that Shabbos is a mitzvah that at your stage in life, that my teenage high school students, is an extraordinarily difficult mitzvah, but I assure you and guarantee you, as you get older, it will become one of your most appreciated mitzvahs. At that age, you can't stay away from your phone, but as you get older, you come to truly appreciate the beauty of Shabbos. Fine, that's the Rambam in Koteret. Now, what is the character of that mitzvah? We get very different impressions from source number 12 and source number 13. The Rambam in source number 12 says, Shvisa ba'shvi'i mi malacha mitzvahs aseh. Shvisa ba'shvi'i mi malacha mitzvahs aseh. Resting from milacha is a mitzvahs aseh. Shnemar v'yom ha-shvi'i tishbos. As the pasuk says, you shall rest on the seventh day. V'chola oza bo milacha. And if you do milacha, again, the word milacha appears a second time. Bitel mitzvahs aseh v'avar alosa aseh. Shnemar losa aseh kol milacha. You violated, you fulfilled to fulfill, to do the aseh, and you violated alosa aseh, as the Torah says, lo osa aseh kol milacha. Okay? It's quite evident that the milacha that the Rambam is referring to here is what? The malachos of Shabbos. Lam and test malachos. He's not referring to some generic term of malacha. It's quite evident that you violated a lo sa'aseh. He's referring to the malacha Shabbos. Lam and test malachos. Lo sa'aseh kol malacha. So the Rambam, in contrast to the Ramban, appears to be confining the mitzvah sa'aseh to the malachos. But then take a look at source number 13. 20 prakim later, the Rambam in Shabbos, Chaf Aleph Aleph, throws the following in. Ne'amar batorah tishbos. The Torah tells you to rest. Afilu midvarim she'enon malacha chayav lishbos mehen. Even from things that are not malacha, you need to desist and rest from those as well. Magid Mishnah analyzes the Rambam. He's trying to figure out what the Rambam says. He ultimately concludes, if you look at the second to last line, that he must be saying something like the Ramban ala Torah, the kakos of a Ramban zaba perish Torah. He references the famous Ramban that we were talking about last time. It must be that the Rambam is saying the same thing. Why does the Rambam start by saying that it's malacha, and then only 20 prakim later does he say, oh, by the way, this includes other things as well? So my Rebbe suggested that perhaps a similar phenomenon is going on as well. If you want to understand the real character of Shavisa b'Shabbos, of course, that is the Kiyum HaMitzvah. But the main and primary content of resting on Shabbos consists of resting from the malachos. That is the core and central component of rest on Shabbos. Yes, it is true. It includes other things as well. In a similar vein to the Ramban, as the Magid Mishnah suggests. But that's not the core of it. That's something that appears 20 prakim later. If you want to understand the core of the Maisa Mitzvah of Shvisa B'Shabbos, the Maisa Mitzvah primarily consists of resting from malacha. And I would humbly suggest that perhaps that's what's going on in our Rambam as well. The Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, as well as the Rambam in Mishnah Torah, is describing the Maisa Mitzvah of Shvisa B'Shvias. And that is primarily conducted through resting from the Avodas Ha'aretz V'Avodas Ha'ilan. It primarily consists of resting from the avoda that is part of the lo sa'aseh. It might include other things as well. At a certain point, we will talk about whether or not the Rambam includes harisha, plowing, in the mitzvah aseh of Shemitah. Something that we touched on very quickly before, but we will come back to and analyze in greater depth. There's a major machlokas as to whether the Rambam really confines, just like by Shabbos, does he really confine the mitzvah aseh, narrowly speaking, to the malachos that are prohibited in the lo sa'aseh, or does it expand beyond them as well? It's a major machlokas in the Akronim. But it's undeniable that the Rambam starts, just like he does with Yom Shabbos, by saying that the mitzvah saseh is confined to the lo saseh. I would suggest that the Rambam is providing us, again, a kind of nuanced middle ground, in a sense, between the two sides of the chakira that we're presenting. The kiyum hamitzvah for the Rambam is shvisas ha'aretz, like we've been describing. It's shetishbos ha'aretz b'shvias. It's the pasuk of b'shavisah ha'aretz shabbos la'ashem. The earth needs to rest. The means towards accomplishing that, what is the Maisa HaMitzvah? Like by Tshuva, like by Simcha Beregel, like by Hilchos Shabbos, the Rambam in Mishnah Torah seeks to give you the Maisa HaMitzvah, and he says that primarily consists of resting from the earth in the sense of the agricultural malacha of the mitzvah lo sa'aseh. This could have major ramifications in terms of Shitas Rambam. We don't have time to flesh all of that out now, but Be'ez Hashem, we will in the future. We're still going to do Tosafos next, but when we get to the sugya of Harisha, we'll come back to some of the themes that we discussed tonight. But that, in my mind, I think, is in my mind, the best I could do in terms of the understanding of Shitas Rambam. Tam and Ishlam, Hajan Allah, sugya of Mitzvah Saseh Shal Shmita, and Be'ez Hashem, we will pick up with the Mitzvah of Tosafos. Yeah.